I'm talking with the commissioner so much. I wasn't ready, Professor, to come back, was I? Commissioner Anthony Batts is in studio, and we're taking phone calls as the commissioner now is here 1 year, and I'm coming to your calls in a moment. But Commissioner, I do have to ask you, you made a reference to it that, you know, when people look at crime, and it really is more perception than reality in many people's eyes, Commissioner, that actual murders may be up, but you made some suggestion that other elements of crime may be down. Where do we stand today when it comes to crime?
Absolutely. As I said, our homicide rate is 4% above what it was last year.
But 178 murders is 177?
177 at this point, and we're trending in the right direction, and the organization is responding very well. But there's a couple things I want you to know about, the listeners are low about, to know about. For those suspects who are involved in violence, 76% of the people who are shooting at people have been arrested prior. About the same amount, same percentage are those involved in drugs. Of the victims who are shot by those suspects, pretty close to 80% of them have been arrested before, and the same percentage involved in drugs. So what you really have in our city, our crime and violent crime is really localized. You have drug dealers shooting drug dealers. You have gang members shooting gang members. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it good. And having an increase of 4% is unacceptable, and that has to get down. But the reality of it's happening in our western and our eastern. And if we can cut the crime rate there by 50% in those two localized areas, both of those districts are about 3 miles, 3 miles square. The western and the eastern, we drop crime in the city, violent crime in the city overall 50%.
We also drop a commissioner. I'm not going to get you in trouble. This is C4. This is not Commissioner Batts. When we actually keep people in jail who commit violent crime with handguns, we're not doing that well enough, Commissioner. We're not pursuing that 5-year mandatory minimum, and we're plea bargaining. I'm not trying to get you in trouble. This is
C4. You're not getting me in trouble.
But the bottom line, we have a revolving door with violent felons in the city, Commissioner.
No, I agree with that. One of the things that you heard me come into the city when I first came here, and people were a little irritated at me, and I started talking about the fact that we had the Black Gorilla family within the city. We have Treetop Piru, and the reason I was saying that, much like the reason I was sharing with you the data on the suspects and the victims, our crime is localized, and it's localized with the gangs. And yes, we do have a revolving door on Public Enemy number one. If you go back and look at his sheet, and that was a young man who had the large nose and the tattoo in the middle of his forehead, he had shot several people prior. He had knocked the teeth out of people. He had stabbed several people, and he was out on our streets. And for me, that's ridiculous. What I'm connected to is part of identifying the gang members in our city. We had, when I walked in the police department today, we had 30 identified gang members in our gang database. Mm. 30. That's all we had in the city of Baltimore, 30 gang members. When we identify who they are, we need to get enhancements, legal enhancements at the state level that says if you're an identified, validated gang member and you do violence, you should do minimum standards of 5 years.
California has similar practices, don't they?
Absolutely.
That's where you're getting that kind of from.
And that way that you're arresting, you're targeting those people who are the most violent people and keeping them in jail by mandatory enhancement.
Let's get some calls in here. Let's get Vicky on board. Vicky, you're on with Commissioner Batts and me.
Hi. Something that's really been concerning me lately is the militarization and what seems to me like the federalization of local police forces. Every little town and hamlet now seems to have its own SWAT team, Bearcat vehicles, simple search warrants now sometimes are routinely issued by a SWAT team, and there have been a number of tragedies in Maryland and around the country that have come of it.
Well, Vicky, let me stop for a second. The commissioner can respond. Commissioner, that has truly been a concern of many people, is we seem to see the police and with this particular, I guess, tactic as we're moving forward, kind of distancing themselves from the community. Because when you're all geared up in these particular teams, it really is an interaction with the community.
Well, clearly, I want to go the opposite direction, but there is a need to also protect ourselves. You know, I come from on the West Coast where you had two guys who robbed a bank with automatic weapons and ended up holding an entire police department at bay. You hear these illegal guns that are moving throughout our different communities, and you're having active shooters going into schools. You're having active shooters going into the port down at Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago. And so there becomes times where we have to take on very violent people who are armed much better than what we are. And when those occasions take place, we have to be comparably armed and able to take them on. So there's a time where we need to be able to talk to people and to build relationships in the communities. But we also have violence that we have to respond to, and we have to be prepared to do it in an appropriate way.
Let's get Mike in Westminster. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment. Recently, between the Attorney General, who stated that there's going to be a different mission for prosecuting federally drug offenders, and then recently the governor stated about the Baltimore City's not being aggressive enough in the
arrest,
prosecution, right, or the arrest of those things. So it seems somewhat of a contradiction, and it puts you guys in an awkward position. I just wanted to get your opinion on that, because it seems the drugs and the guns and violence always go hand in hand, and to limit you with who you can target.
Let me help you, Mike, real quick. Really, you're talking about possession cases and not distribution, Commissioner, and the emphasis not towards
federal. There's no federal charges for possession. It's distribution.
No, I understand, but we're talking locally, though, Mike. Hold on for a second. Go ahead, Commissioner.
I'm not totally clear on the question, but I'll say that. I'm not going to get in the middle of any political discussion that is going on. I think discourse and debate is always good. I think I get to work for a very wonderful mayor that does a great job, and we have a governor that is extremely passionate about the state and about the city as a whole. But I think what I'm seeing is that the organization is responding well. I told you about the homicide, which is about 4%. You know, there's other categories that people need to pay attention to. Our rapes are down 14% in the city that we don't talk much about. The robberies in our city are down 5%. We don't talk much about that. The potentiality for carjacking in the city is down 31% over last year. Robberies of stores, 7-Eleven, places like that, is down 8%. People beating people, what we call aggravated assault, is down 11% in the city. Thefts, or petty thefts, things we call larcenies, are down 2% in the city. Stolen cars, auto thefts, what we call, are down 13% in the city. If you put all those things together, cumulative, they're broken down into violent crime and property crime. Total violent crime in the city of Baltimore is down 6% and has been down all year. Total property crime in the city of Baltimore is down 3% and has been all year. Total crime, or what we call Part 1 crime, is down 4% in the city of Baltimore.
Hold that thought, Commissioner. More with Commissioner Anthony Batts in a moment.